Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. If you're a registered New Hampshire voter and you have a phone, you have definitely heard from them, the pollsters, those insistent, frequent callers trying to determine how you'll vote in the midterm election. Perhaps you're happy to oblige. Many voters watch for the pre-election day polls, after all. Many others are sick of those calls by now and have stopped picking up for numbers that they don't recognize. To those people, and there are many, polling the pollsters may sound like a form of revenge. But that is what polling aggregation website 538 Blog, created by Nate Silver, is doing. Carl Bialik is 538's lead writer for news and author of a series of articles of data gathered from those who gather data. Carl, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks very much for having me.
So just a little review quickly on how polling works. Who does them and how?
That answer is changing all the time, but the basic answer is that professionals are doing them because they're being paid by a newspaper or by a campaign, and they hire people to call up the people like your listeners in their homes, perhaps more than they'd like to be called, and ask them questions that have been decided on in advance to get a sense of who they're going to vote for, why, what they care about, what they don't care about.
With many newspapers pulling back on coverage and beats altogether, are there fewer pollers than there used to be?
There are fewer who are doing the most expensive form, which is the kind I described, but there are many who are trying other methods. Some of your listeners may have gotten calls that sound like they're from a live person but are a recording, and that's a less expensive way to poll. Some pollsters are trying out online panels, which can be expensive to set up, but then once you have the panel, it's very cheap to do a poll of them.
It's hard to believe, however, in the age of cell phones and caller ID that people would be bothered to answer a poll. Did pollsters indicate that they're having a harder time just reaching people to answer their questions?
Absolutely. The phone pollsters are seeing response rates declining every year, and this has been a long-term trend. So by now, their response rates don't have much farther to decline. Some of the pollsters are telling us that fewer than 5% of the calls eventually yield a completed interview. So it's really a smaller and smaller group of people who are standing in for everybody else. This may not mean that pollsters are out of the game of calling people up completely, but many of them are already thinking of new ways to figure out what public opinion is.
You asked the pollsters about polling errors in the 2014 election, especially Senate election polls. Many cited concern over increases in errors. Why do you think?
I think they're pretty confident that there's not going to be an enormous mistake. There's not going to be headlines saying Dewey beats Truman proven wrong. But they do see, on average, likelihood for higher error this year. Some of the races that are the most interesting, the most closely contested, are in states where they don't have a lot of experience, and where the pollsters who do have a lot of experience maybe don't have the same pedigree. And also, because of the declining budgets of traditional news organizations that have sponsored them, as you mentioned before, there's just fewer polls out there, and sparser polling makes it harder to get the results right, especially if there are fewer polls right before the election when it's kind of easier to get the result.
And in your attempt to get the results right, you did give pollsters you surveyed the option of anonymity. How do you think that might get better results?
Well, I think that some of them have some critical words for their rivals and for the industry in general, but they also have relationships and sometimes refer business to others, depending on the location. And like with any kind of touchy subject matter, anonymity can make people a little freer to talk. Now, that has trade-offs because we prefer to know who's saying what to us and to our readers. But I think, as it is, trying to get them to make time to respond to our questions just before Election Day is tough. So I figured I would give them a chance to decide. And it's interesting because they get to decide on each question, and it really depends on the question. Some people really change their minds on whether they want to be quoted or not from question to question.
Your most recent poll of pollsters focused on ethics. Now, earlier this year, one of your colleagues reported on evidence that suggested that some pollsters were copying the results of others in order to make sure that the numbers fell in line with their peers. What was the response from the pollsters when you asked about whether or not they do this?
Everyone said they didn't.
Of course. They would.
They would. So that wasn't very surprising. One of them, who, funny enough, asked for anonymity, said, "Do you really think anyone's going to answer this honestly?" And I think some of them answered honestly, maybe most of them, maybe all of them, because I think it's certainly not something that every pollster does. But we also asked them if they thought that their peers are doing this. And of the ones who answered, more than half said they think they are. Now, we didn't get any smoking guns or hard evidence, but if many of them think it's happening, that's more reason for us to think it's happening.
Now, when asked who the pollsters predicted would win the Senate, the response was 2/3 believe the Republicans will have the majority. Does this jibe with your own simulations at 538?
Well, we find that somewhere between 3/5 and 2/3 of the time when we run simulations that the Republicans are going to hold the Senate. And that's been a very steady figure. It shows that the pollsters are either looking at our numbers or some of our competitors' numbers and seeing the same thing, that this looks like it'll probably be a Republican takeover of the Senate, but not by much of a margin.
Carl, I have to ask in closing, do you call them all at dinner time?
We're using the internet. So we're one of those experimenters with the new method. Figure in this case, since we're not randomly dialing people, we know who we're reaching, that internet's just as good. And, you know, that way they don't have to deal with people mispronouncing words or the tone of their voice influencing answers. And maybe they'll feel a little more comfortable giving honest answers to a machine than to a person.
Well, Carl, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Carl Bialik is 538's lead writer for news, and you'll find a link to his articles, several of them about polling pollsters. That's at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. There was a time when Playboy was considered a serious magazine for political journalism and a yardstick of American taste. And then, of course, there were the centerfolds. When we come back, we'll hear about how a group of former Playboy models, now in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, remember their moment and their month. That's when Word of Mouth continues after a short break.